This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We start with a quick programming note. We promoted today's show as including a conversation about Ohio House Bill 248. It started as a piece of legislation designed to give access to antique firearms to people otherwise forbidden from owning guns at all, but it swelled into this massive rewrite of state gun laws, drawing consternation from law enforcement and anti-gun activists. However, the state lawmaker we had booked to appear on this program in defense of the bill, Claremont County Republican State Representative John Becker, told us the bill is no longer being considered. We agreed to talk more about gun legislation and other issues in Columbus with Representative Becker at another time. Meanwhile, here in Cincinnati, City Councilman and mayoral candidate P.G. Sittenfeld announced today in a video he is temporarily stepping aside from City Council, accepting a suspension while his legal case proceeds. Sittenfeld was arrested last month on federal corruption charges. He says he's innocent and plans to fight the charges. Here's part of what he said today.
This has also been a very difficult time, enduring false allegations, inaccurate stories, and having some folks not be willing to wait to get the complete and accurate facts has been painful for me and for those around me. All I've ever tried and wanted to do is my very best for my hometown. And I can promise you that no one is more eager than I am for all of the facts to come to light and for the truth to be revealed, because I know it will show my innocence. In a legal context, that process takes some time. And while that happens, thank you again for standing with me and believing in me. In the meantime, I'm faced with a decision about whether to voluntarily agree to temporarily step aside from my city council duties. I genuinely love serving you, and I love serving the city of Cincinnati. I also recognize that the way I can best get back to serving you is to deal with this situation head on. Which is why today I'm voluntarily agreeing to temporarily step aside from my seat on council so that I can aggressively pursue clearing my name and, after achieving justice, then immediately resume my seat on city council and my service to our city. I am grateful for your continued support and remain in your service. Thank you.
That was Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld speaking earlier this morning in a video posted to social media. Sittenfeld joins fellow Councilman Jeff Pastor in being suspended currently while each fights federal corruption charges. Steve Gooden was appointed to replace Pastor in the interim. He'll be our guest on Tuesday's Cincinnati edition. In Washington, lawmakers will revisit the possibility of passing COVID relief legislation as part of a year-end spending package designed to keep the government from shutting down next weekend. I spoke earlier with Ohio Democratic U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown about it. Senator Sherrod Brown, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Good to be back. Thank you.
So tell us where we stand right now as it relates to any type of stimulus or relief aid for all that we're dealing with this ongoing coronavirus pandemic.
We did this right earlier in the year, where Congress came together and passed a Recovery Act. It kept thousands of Ohio businesses in business. It several hundred thousand Ohioans got unemployment benefits around the country. It was estimated 13 million people would have fallen into poverty and didn't because of government action. But since then, Senator McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, has said that he sees no urgency. We've simply done virtually nothing to help. We see now unemployment about to expire, moratorium on evictions is expired, schools are hurting because it's so expensive to open. Amidst this coronavirus, local governments, businesses are going out of business, and we thought we had a bipartisan deal this week, and Mitch McConnell again walked away from it. So I'm hopeful that, I mean, we should go back to Washington. We should stay in session until we help people. We just can't go into the new year with the number of people about to be evicted and people without jobs and being evicted in the middle of the coronavirus in the middle of the winter is just unconscionable.
And Senator, we've also just seen this piecemeal response to COVID across the country as each state is left to figure this out on their own with different varying levels of success. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on whether if the federal government had taken more action, particularly as it relates to direct financial assistance to businesses and to individual Americans, whether you think that would have had an impact on the number of COVID-19 cases that we are seeing escalate in this country right now.
Of course it would have mattered. If the president back in March had said, this is a serious pandemic, it's an epidemic that could lead into, could evolve into a pandemic. We need to address it. I'm going to start wearing a mask. All Americans should mask and social distancing and stay in unless they have to go out for something. And the president had modeled that instead of fighting about masks, instead of the president saying it's a hoax and it'll go away and not telling the truth about it, we'd be in a very different place. But we're 4% of the world's population. We're 20% of the world's deaths. And it's getting worse. And it's getting worse because the president has played off one state against another in order to get protective equipment, in order to do the contact tracing. Some states have been, we're seeing the virus explode in all kinds of states that followed the president's lead and did essentially nothing.
Well, contact tracing, Senator, I mean, we're hearing from some health departments here, I mean, that the COVID case count has gotten so high that it's virtually impossible to do effective contact tracing. We're also hearing from businesses, some who are so frustrated with extended lockdown measures and wondering whether they're just facing punitive damages for something that's out of their control. They want to be open. But again, what is the message to these businesses? They're angry at perhaps health officials rather than the federal government that perhaps could have been in a position to provide more financial relief?
Well, there's no question. Well, first of all, the businesses have a legitimate reason to be upset. I spoke with 60 restaurateurs last week on a conference call. They're all under siege. Some are about to close. Some are about to close permanently. All of them are struggling, no matter their size, whether it's a one location diner or a chain restaurant of 20. The federal government didn't do its job. The president didn't want to do more financial. It's both financial help and it's also setting some national standards. I mean, just the fact that the president was defiant and all his followers were defiant about wearing masks. Think how many more people got sick because they would say, well, the president doesn't wear a mask. And so I don't have, it's wearing a mask is, you know, we stop at stop signs. We wear seat belts. We wear, saying mask wearing is a bridging my freedom. We wear clothes in public. I mean, if the president had set the tone and others had set the tone that we've got to do this, and financial help was really important, but so is the modeling to do this right. So I know contact tracing now is very hard, almost unworkable because this has gotten so bad. But you think about since the election, all the presidents talked. First, he said that coronavirus would go away, said that right before the election. And since the election, he's talked only about himself and the election. Even his own party hack attorney general said there's no fraud. Yet the president's shown no leadership. Biden can't do it yet because he's not in office. It's up to the Senate to do it and to get the money in people's pockets so they can be helped and to begin to slow down the spread.
We're facing some serious deadlines, and I know you've got to run, speaking of deadlines, Senator, but I just want to ask, we're facing some deadlines related to earlier relief that was adopted by the federal government. We've got the eviction moratorium expiring at the end of the year, student loan forbearance expiring at the end of the year, expanded paid family leave benefits expiring at the end of the year. If there is something passed this month that may not meet the full needs of the country right now, what kind of impact do you think that would have once President-elect Biden is President Biden and there are further discussions about further stimulus early next year?
Well, again, it's always up to Senator McConnell. I mean, we passed this bill back in March, the CARES Act, which kept 12, 13 million people out of poverty. Senator McConnell since has said he saw no urgency to move again. He's pretty much saying people are on their own. Now, President Biden comes in. Senator McConnell's still, depending on a special election in Georgia, Senator McConnell's still in charge. And he can, again, refuse to move on any significant stimulus. It breaks my heart. I think it's irresponsible. I think it's almost un-American not to do this. I would hope that a number of Republican senators would go to McConnell and say, you got to do this. We just came up with a bipartisan agreement last week, 4 Republican, 4 Democratic senators. It wasn't nearly as big a package as I think we need, but I'll support it. So will every Democrat. They brought it back and McConnell said no to it. And the 4 that we've got, if we can get McConnell to agree to a vote on the floor, I mean, he has so much power and he's used it for such ill use in so many cases. And he stopped a minimum wage increase. He stopped an overtime rule. He stopped any efforts on climate change. He stopped any efforts on the Recovery Act now. And it's to me, it's morally reprehensible.
So, Senator, then the Georgia runoff elections, where both seats in that state are up for a runoff election in early January, pretty significant as it relates to what could happen early next year.
Yeah, if the Democrats win both, the Senate will be 50-50, and the Vice President Harris will break the tie. And that means that the Democrats will then set the Senate schedule. And that's the important, really the most important point. The Democrats will then set the schedule, bring bills to the floor, and then they can be voted on. And we'll get Republican votes on some of this Recovery Act. It's just Mitch McConnell is playing to his most corporate, wealthy billionaire contributors that don't want any action because they talk about the federal deficit. Nobody talked about the federal deficit when we won World War II. But now all of a sudden they talk about the federal deficit when people are hurting in such a big way.
Senator Sherrod Brown, Democrat of Ohio. Senator, thank you for the time you gave us.
Let's do it again. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.